The Lord is my shepherd is such a rich, wonderful way of speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship that we have with him through faith. Although this is, I'm sure, something that all Christians are familiar with, I don't think we can ever really exhaust the depth of meaning that's in these words. You could even say, I think, that, you know, the whole of the gospel of what it really, the heart of it, what it's all about, it's here in these words for us to draw out. The Lord is my shepherd, my king, my protector, my savior, my guide. He's everything. This wonderful truth, it stirs our minds to think of the Lord. It moves our hearts to love him. It inspires our hands to serve him. The Lord is my shepherd. But this evening we've come to the second statement in the psalm. I shall not want. I shall not want. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And brothers and sisters, remember we're looking at this psalm because we're all rather bruised and battered by the last 18 months. Somewhat drained and worn out. And I really want you to hear the encouragement that the Lord gives us in this psalm. This is good news. This is our shepherd giving us encouragement as his sheep. And what I want you to hear in these words, I shall not want, is that this is a promise. This is a promise that the Lord is making to you, his people. I believe that's a very good way of searching the scriptures. What you need to do is ask and see that actually many of the statements in scripture are promises. Restated, this is a promise that the Lord will provide everything that you need. The Lord promises in this statement to give you, his people, everything you need. That's when he undertakes to be your shepherd, he promises to be God to you, your God, to rule over you, but to give you life and to care for you, give you everything you need. And on our part, that he is our God, that we worship him, love him, serve him. This is who he is. He's Jehovah Jireh, as some would say, the Lord who provides. This is a promise to encourage us tonight. And there's three particular points I want us to consider to hang our thoughts on. The first is the fulsome nature of this promise. The fullness of it, the extent of it. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. The fullness of it. Secondly, the faithfulness of God. The Lord has given us so many demonstrations, so many examples of his faithfulness to this promise. And we can look at his track record and see that he always keeps this promise to his people. And then the third and final thought is that this is a confession of faith. This is a truth to confess, to trust in, to believe, especially when we're in difficulty. So I want you to think with me first about the fulsome nature of this promise. I shall not want. Promise to provide everything we need. That's an important point. It's what we need. When the scripture says want here, it means the things we need, not what we might desire. There's many things we might desire and want in that sense, which it would be disastrous for us to have. God gave us everything that we wanted in that sense. It would ruin us. He indulged our sinful desires. We always got our way, got everything in this world. How it would corrupt us, and undoubtedly we'd be worse in sin. And like any good parent, the Lord knows he sometimes has to say no to his children and deny us what is sinful or unwise or unhealthy. And He sees the end from the beginning, and things that might look good to us, that we even pray for, he knows that actually it would lead to disaster for us. Little do we often know the consequences of what we may think is good and right. And the Lord in his kindness may say no. But it is a promise. He'll provide everything we need. Have you thought about that? That this is an open-ended statement. I shall not want. Want what? It's left open because it's that comprehensive. It's covering every material spiritual need. It doesn't say, I shall not want for some things, or I shall not want sometimes. Well, the openness of it, the length and the breadth of it is, I shall not want for anything. The Lord your God is generous. That's his nature, if I could dare to put it that way. That's his character. He's generous. He's the giver of every good gift. And he delights to bless his people. He's glad to do it. And of course, as God, he alone is infinite, eternal, unchanging. So he can give from his own self and resources and is unchanged. So he's the one we can always come to. You can drink from this well of infinite fullness as much as you want. And he is not one drop less. Think about the psalm and how it tells us about God's generosity to his people. He gives us green pastures, still waters. Our cups run over. He prepares a feast. He brings us into his house forever. It's all expressing the same wonderful truth. The Lord provides. You've probably heard me say before that I think maybe my favourite word in Scripture is abounds. You know how the Apostle Paul loves to use that word in his letters of God's grace abounding. God's love abounding towards his people whom he saves. Boundary busting. Can't be, it's uncontainable. He's a most generous God. I shall not want means I shall not want for my daily bread. By daily bread, we mean the material necessities. Our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount speaks of shelter, clothing, food. The Lord promises to provide those things for his people. And normally, the Lord uses means. He includes us in the process of getting daily bread. Because he's given us this dignified calling to work and to use our gifts. And we've got this wonderful role of playing a part in his creation. And that glorifies him. We're to work and, in a sense, earn that daily bread. And it's true that if someone who could work sinfully refuses, this is not a promise for them. As the scripture says, he who does not work shall not eat. This is no promise that promotes, you know, laziness or selfish idleness. But it is a promise that those who are faithfully walking with the Lord, obedient to his commands, he faithfully will provide our needs. You know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is not hard for the creator of the universe to meet our material needs. Wonderful promise. The Lord tells us, as you heard in the Sermon on the Mount, how we should respond to that, what we should make of that. We should respond with confidence, with faith, with trust. He says, don't be anxious then about material things. Trust him. Do not be overcome with worry. Some of us in the church, I know we're at that stage of life where we're starting out, looking to get married or maybe begin a family, Lord willing. And you might have very little to rub together, financially speaking. And you wonder, how on earth are we going to do this? And houses are so expensive and all the rest of it. And it can be utterly overwhelming. It'd be frightening even. God says, don't be afraid. Don't fret yourself. Your Father knows that you need these things. Trust me. Walk with me. I will provide. So as well as not being anxious, he says, don't pursue those things. Don't pursue worldly wealth and glory as if that's what's really important. But in your heart, pursue the kingdom of God. You put the Lord first. You honor him. You make that the priority, that you're going to serve his church. You're going to seek him. You're going to pray. You're going to live by God's commandments. And all these things shall be added to you. The Lord is faithful and will provide for his people. You know, there's that great principle. He who honors me, I will honor. So it's a wonderful promise. He says, you know, look at the birds. Who feeds them? Look at the flowers. Who makes them so beautiful? Do you not think your heavenly Father, who loves you so much, can provide everything that you need? But as well as normally, God giving us a calling in work, and I think this promise extends further. Even in abnormal circumstances, when normal means are closed off to God's people, he will provide. It's not the norm, but it's a promise if we're in difficulty. The Lord can provide for his people in extraordinary ways. I'm sure probably most of us know the famous testimony of George Mueller. Wonderful evangelical man who founded an orphanage and by faith trusted the Lord to provide, to care for all the orphans. And there's that very dramatic incident. Again, it's not the norm, but it's a demonstration of God's faithfulness. Well, one morning that they were completely without. There's no food for the children. There's nothing to provide them. But he has them sit down with their bowls on the table. And he says, well, we're going to pray. We pray. We trust the Lord will provide. And then there's a knock on the door. And the local grocer, his cart has broken down. He can't get it fixed. He can't move it. And rather than the food go to waste, he says, well, here you go. Just give it to the children. The Lord provides. Even in extraordinary circumstances, should we find ourselves missionaries? Should we find ourselves persecuted? The Lord will provide. But then not only are we talking about our material necessities, and there's a lot of financial anxiety around us, and who knows, you know, jobs could be lost and things could be difficult for years. We can trust the Lord will provide. But not only that, this promise is so great, the Lord's speaking about our even greater spiritual needs. He has worked to provide everything needed for our salvation, for the renewing of our souls, and to bring us to glory in the end. He provides everything. This is the glory of true biblical religion. Salvation is of the Lord. He has elected. He has chosen. He has called. He has regenerated. He justifies. He sanctifies. He gives grace to persevere in the faith, and he brings his people to glory. And it is all his gift for utterly helpless, guilty sinners like us. Like we considered this morning, when we're at that point of going, we're so unworthy. God provides. If he has given us his Son, how will he not with him give us all things? His Son, incarnate, perfect, righteous life, his atoning death, his resurrection in power, our union with him, that this is shared with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit as our advocate and teacher to preserve us in the Christian life, to empower us to do his work. So think about this. I shall not want. Christian, you can say, I shall not want for forgiveness. I shall not want for mercy. I shall not want for righteousness. I shall not want for eternal life. I shall not want for the love and presence of God. For the Lord my shepherd provides all these things. I shall not want for material things. I shall not want for spiritual things. And I think this is an important one to say. I shall not want when I am suffering. When I am suffering, it will be at some point as you follow the Lord You will have to carry the cross. You will experience suffering. The Lord providentially, for his glory, may ordain a difficult path at times. The valley of the shadow of death. All kinds of difficulties. But even in the midst of the worst suffering, this promise is true. We will be given everything we need. You will be given the resources to persevere. Faith will be sustained. You remember there's that wonderful picture in Pilgrim's Progress. When Pilgrim goes to the interpreter's house, and he's shown these different pictures of the Christian life, and he sees a fire that represents a Christian's faith. And on one side there's the devil, and he's throwing buckets of water on it, trying to quench it. There's difficulties and suffering and temptations. And then he's taken around the other side, and what does he see? He sees the Lord, and he's throwing on the oil. And the more the devil throws on the water, the more the Lord is there to keep his people's faith burning. And in the midst of suffering, the Lord will give you everything you need. He will sustain you. And your faith will grow. He promises his presence. Like Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace, the Lord was with them. He promises there'll be a good purpose in it. It will sanctify you. It will lead to the spread of the gospel. You will benefit from it to then share with others. It will bear fruit. But he'll give us everything we need. And how many of us can testify that we've known a sense of peace, that peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding in the lowest, darkest moments. The Lord, even in suffering, he will give us everything we need. I shall not want. Believe it, brothers and sisters. I shall not want. The Lord will provide. But there's so much more, isn't there, that we could say under this first point? Almost every aspect of life. But do you see the fulsome nature of this promise of God? I shall not want. And then the second thing that I want to draw out for you is that in one sense, this is David's testimony. This is David's testimony. He's known this and experienced this himself. We sang from Psalm 37, which might be just about my own personal favorite psalm. And there's a line in that psalm where David's then an older man, and he's saying, "Do you know, I'm old, but I have never seen the children of the righteous having to beg for bread." Isn't that a wonderful thought? And he's looking back and he's saying, "I can testify. I know this track record of the Lord. Learn from me. He won't let you down." And thinking about that, we can look back at the centuries, the testimony of Scripture, and we can see that not once, not a single time, has God ever broken this promise for his people. Not once did his people ever get to a point of extremity and find God wasn't there, that God didn't have the answer. Listen to the testimony of Adam. Old Father Adam, former head of the human race. He says, "When the Lord first made me from the dust of the earth, he gave me life. He gave me the breath of life. I was nothing. I was not. And he provided the spark of life, the soul. He provided me with the most beautiful home. There was a garden paradise full of everything I could need, every kind of good fruit. I lacked nothing. And then when I realized I was lonely and there was no animal equal to me, the Lord provided the most beautiful partner and companion, a woman, my dear wife." And then maybe Adam says with a tear in his eye, "Even though he provided me with the tree of life, I didn't listen. And I foolishly took from the tree of knowledge. But you know what? The Lord provided. I'd ruined the human race, plunged us into sin, lost my righteousness, my relationship with God, and the Lord provided. He promised a Savior. He promised that seed would crush the devil's head. And he clothed my nakedness with the fur skins of animals. The Lord provided. The promise is true." Or maybe you'd rather listen to our father in the faith, Abraham, when he couldn't have children in his old age. Humanly impossible for Sarah in her old age. Yet the Lord, true to his word, he gives them a son. And he gives them Isaac, born of the Spirit. And then when his faith was tested and told to offer Isaac to die, the scriptures tell us that Abraham, well, he'd learned by then. He knew the Lord could provide, and he goes in faith to that mount, and he says to Isaac, don't you worry, the Lord will provide. Believing, Hebrews says, that God could even raise Isaac from the dead if that's what was needed. And sure enough, though the Lord provides that ram in the thicket, again prefiguring our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. And Abraham names the place. The Lord will provide. Abraham tells you tonight, this promise is true. What would Moses say to you, the lawgiver? He'd say, I had to lead this incorrigible, complaining, rebellious, ungrateful people for 40 years in the wilderness. We were wandering under the hot sun, no permanent rest, surrounded by hostile nations. We've got no crops. But you know, there's not a single day, not a single day we were in want. Every morning the Lord sent manna from heaven. He caused water to spring from the rock. His cloud covered us by day and a pillar of fire by night. And you could, if you wanted to, imagine meeting with every single saint that's in the scriptures, and beyond that, any saint who's gone on to glory before us. And although there might have been moments when they were tested and they may have doubted and struggled, they would all tell you, when they've come to the end of the journey, they'd look back and say, how faithful is God? I did not want. He has never failed. It's Jacob and his sons, starving from famine. But the Lord had already provided Joseph and the storehouses of Egypt. There's Joshua, this impossible battle to take down the stronghold of Jericho. The Lord's already there. The angel of the Lord, ready to meet him. Daniel, the mercy of Nebuchadnezzar, asking him to interpret his dreams. The Lord gives him wisdom. And we've been given all things in our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. If he's given us his son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? The Lord is faithful. Faithful. So the final thought to apply this as we leave tonight and go out to the difficulties of everyday life is that this statement is a confession of faith. It's a bold act of trusting God. To say, I shall not want. It's an act of your faith to say and believe this. And that's pleasing to God. Yeah, we don't know the circumstances of David's life when he writes Psalm 23. His placement early on in the Psalms perhaps suggests, maybe it was earlier in his life, but it certainly seems to suggest he'd known troubles. He'd been in many difficulties. You remember, he, as a young man, had to flee for his life from Saul, had to leave his wife and home behind. It's all taken from him, and he spends years in the wilderness with a bunch of wild men being hunted. But in that moment of great trial, we know David trusted the Lord. He said, I shall not want. Psalm 57 speaks when he's in the cave. And he says, Lord, I take refuge under the shadow of your wings. It's the same act of trusting God. In those darkest moments, he said, Lord, you are my shepherd. I trust, I shall not want. My circumstances look grim. Lord, I trust, you will provide. Lord gives us this wonderful promise Our faith may sometimes be tested. He may make us wait for his provision. He may make us wait. Like David in the wilderness, circumstances can seem to be conspiring against us, growing worse, and it looks as if the promise is not true. There's times when we're overwhelmed and we feel like we're in great need. God's people brought to their extremity. You may, even desperate, humanly speaking, that there's no way forward and there's no help. Waiting for God's provision. Again, just picture Israel at the Red Sea. They're hemmed in by the water in the mountains. Pharaoh's chariots are pressing down on them. They certainly seem to be in need. You remember the words of Moses? Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Wait. Trust. Have that act of trusting him, of saying, I shall not want. Even ultimately, the ultimate evil, greatest difficulty we'll ever face, even when we come to that moment of death, I shall not want, because my Savior has conquered it, and he will bring me through and take me to glory. Stand still. Moses says, trust, wait. You believe God's promise, even when it seems impossible or unlikely. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be moments of testing like that, of challenges. Seem to be great needs. You may be waiting for a while. But it is in precisely those moments you must remember this promise. And you must act in faith and say, the Lord will provide. I shall not want. And perhaps you've come tonight, brothers and sisters, in need, feeling want, material or spiritual. The great application, the great point of this is the Lord says, trust me. Trust me. Seek first the kingdom of God. Walk in his ways. Obey his commandments and trust the Lord will provide. Call upon him. Say, I shall not want. Stand still and see the Lord will provide. So it is a wonderful word, I shall not want. Do you see it's a promise for you to hold on to and believe? Let me finish with this, these words. One of my favorite hymns is by John Newton that says, though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. The scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. The birds without barn or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust for our bread. His saints what is fitting shall ne'er be denied, so long as 'tis written, the Lord will provide. When Satan appears to stop up our path and fill us with fears, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, the heart-cheering promise, the Lord will provide. He tells us we're weak, our hope is in vain. The good that we seek, we ne'er shall obtain. But when such suggestions our faith thus have tried, this answers all questions. The Lord will provide. No strength of our own, no goodness we claim. Our trust is all thrown on Jesus' dear name. In this our strong tower, for safety we hide. The Lord is our power. The Lord will provide. When life sinks apace and death is in view, the word of his grace shall comfort us through. Not fearing or doubting, with Christ on our side, we hope to die shouting, the Lord will provide. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your generosity. Surely, Lord, there is no one like you. That you always keep your promises. That you never fail. And that you work all things for the good of those who love you. We pray, O Lord, if there be any amongst us known to you who do feel in great need, whatever that may be, Lord, we trust in your promise to provide. And we ask you to lift up those who are downcast, that you would strengthen the faith of those who may be afraid. And we ask, Lord, that once again you would provide for all that your people need. And for us, O Lord, we pray that our hearts, our desires and our consciences would be purified. Lord, keep us from desiring worldly things. Help us, we pray, to seek your kingdom first. And Lord, may we honour you by trusting that you will always provide. Please, Lord, bless us now and help us in the rest of this week with whatever challenges may come, to face them with faith. Thank you, our gracious provider. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us sing together Psalm 23 and version A.
The Lord's my shepherd. Ooh.